I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into another episode of Leftovers Podcast. Derek Kramer.
Frank R. Curry.
And thanks as always for listening on WGR550.com. Frank, playoff hockey is fun.
It's fun.
And the Caps finally did it.
They finally did it.
Bro, as a long-suffering Sabres fan, I can't help but be happy for a team when they break out of a slump.
Yeah.
Because I know that other fans are going to feel the same way when the Sabres finally break out.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, good for you guys. That's awesome. They're not going to say, oh, whatever. You people are terrible. I mean, sometimes, yeah, there are people that are terrible, but guess what? That's in every fan base. I'm happy for Ovechkin and that team for finally being able to move on past that dreaded second round. And there have been playoff failures from them that have stemmed for, what, 20 years now? 20 years?
First time in the conference finals in 20 years.
And it's ridiculously strange. I mean, for a team that makes the playoffs as constantly as they do.
Yeah.
That is what makes it bizarre. I mean, hey, we haven't made the conference. Actually, we've made the conference finals within 20 years.
Within 20 years, four times.
Yeah, look at us.
Because they played the Caps in 98. And then there's 99.
Yeah.
And then 06 and 07.
Guys, we don't suck that bad. Look at that.
Okay, well.
Look at that. We're starting this off on a really optimistic start here. As bad as the Sabres have been, we've made the conference finals within the last 20 years.
it's like the Sharks. They were going through the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Forever. It felt like forever for them. And then finally in 2010, they make the conference finals. You lose to Chicago. 2011, they make the conference finals again. Lose to Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
So now they can't get to the cup final. And then they finally do it in 2016, even though they lost to Pittsburgh. So yeah. It was like, it's about time that they're finally able to do it. But... Yeah. The reward for making the conference finals is Tampa Bay.
Well, I mean, those teams used to be in the same division.
Yeah.
Southeast division.
Yeah.
So this could be fun. And
I think it's going to be a fun series.
I am here for Stamkos versus Ovi.
Yeah.
For Kucherov versus Backstrom. For Kuznetsov versus Johnson. I'm here for all of it.
Yeah.
Carlson versus Hedman.
Yeah.
Holtby versus Vasilevsky.
That's the matchup
I love. So many matchups, and I am here for all of it. Tampa may be the deepest team that there is.
Yeah.
But I'm going to still say it. Washington has the best scorer. Turn your phone off, Hollywood. Washington still has the best scorer.
Yeah. They got Ovechkin.
In all of hockey.
Who's having a great playoff, by the way.
Yeah. No, he had 7 points in six games in the last round alone.
Yep.
So he's great.
Biggest matchup, though, that I'm really interested in is after Carlson for Washington.
Yeah,
the rest of that defense.
Well, I mean,
Tampa's defense is deep.
Yeah, I mean,
Washington's is not,
Ryan
but
McDonough's
they're playing
on the
really
pair.
Well. They're playing really well.
Yeah, Ryan McDonough's rolling on the second pair, and Mikhail Sergachev is still a thing. And he doesn't need to eat up all the prime minutes. They got Mikhail Sergachev.
Yeah. It's going to be a fun series. It's going to be a fun series. I really think so.
But you got to look at Washington's defensive core, and it's been steady, if not unknown.
How drastically different is this Caps team than the one that was down 2-0 to Columbus?
It's not that much different because they were scoring goals. The problem was Grubauer wasn't able to hold it together.
Yeah.
And they were getting into track meets that they didn't need to because you had a Vezina winner sitting on the bench.
Yep.
And look out, lo and behold, Braden Holtby shows up and they've got 8 wins. I'm sorry, but you got to go with your guys. Trotz is lucky. He really is. They could have been outed in the first round if they stuck to that.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it was all Grubauer's fault, but at the same time, man, you were playing against a team that didn't have Bobrovsky at his pinnacle.
As I said it earlier, I understand why they did the why they made that move.
I understood it because Holtby was struggling.
But Trotz did the right thing. As soon as Grubauer started to struggle, he put Holtby in, and they haven't looked back. They're 8-2.
Yeah.
In their last 10 games.
Yeah, they're ready to roll.
Meanwhile, so is Tampa Bay.
They've been rolling. And
5 games in New Jersey, kind of not surprised there.
Five games
against Boston.
That made me so happy.
That's interesting. Like, I mean, I had the I picked the Bruins to win. I had them going
it
to the finals.
It wasn't like they were...
But...
It's not like they were boat racing the Bruins out of town, though, either.
Yeah, they were close games. They were close games.
So that 5-game series may be a little bit of a deceit, or maybe something about playoff format.
By the way, Ovechkin, by the way, has 15 points in these playoffs.
Stupid fly.
15 points for Ovi in the playoffs so far. 12
games. Oh, we have a cough thing. I could have just used that instead of obnoxiously letting Gary Bettman know that his playoff format sucks.
It's okay. I was surprised. I thought there was going to be at least a little more luck going the Bruins' way that would at least make the series longer.
I will say this, though. To their credit for the NHL playoffs, it wouldn't have mattered with this playoff format this year. Because think about it. The 8 best teams that are there are the 8 top seeds. Right? There was no wild card team. There was no wild card team. There was no 3 seed.
Yep. That's true.
They were all 1-2. So these power matchups were going to happen here.
Yeah.
So I can't really say too much about the playoff format this year.
San Jose was a 3 against Vegas.
Yeah, but they also beat down an undeserving Ducks team.
That's true. They did.
And then promptly got whooped out by Vegas. So, no, I think that you can't say undeserving Ducks team, but they were undeserving of a 2.
They did enough at the end of the year to
make their move
to get at least into the second spot. But
San Jose was clearly shown that they were a facade.
Yeah,
And they lost Cam Fowler before the playoffs.
That didn't help. So Tampa, Washington.
Tampa, Washington. I'm here for all of the goals. Sign me up.
But I think this has the making of a high-scoring series.
But the one thing that has been steadying, though, is this. Braden Holtby.
Yeah. He could be the difference.
You look at this series against Pittsburgh?
He will be Washington's difference maker. If he stands on his head, they have a chance.
They don't just have a chance. I lean toward him if he
this
does.
If this truly is Washington's year, they finally got over the hump. If they can find a way against Tampa... I don't care who's coming out of the West.
Mm-hmm.
They could beat that whoever comes out of the West.
Yeah.
If it's truly their year.
Well.
Maybe it could just be their weakest
roster in all of their time in the playoffs.
And it wins the cup.
And it wins them the cup. That just goes to show maybe you just need a team.
Yeah. That's just hockey. You know, you just need a team. You just gotta get hot at the right time.
Gotta get hot, and hey,
it's really what it's all about. It's just about getting hot.
Having a Braden Holtby certainly doesn't hurt.
Like, it's never the best team. It's rare. You know, what was the last time a President's Trophy team, the best team in the regular season,
Pittsburgh,
won the Stanley Cup? It was Chicago. No, it was Chicago.
I thought it was Pittsburgh.
The lockout year.
Okay.
Chicago won the President's Trophy. They won the Cup.
Pittsburgh didn't win the President's Trophy over the last 2 years?
No.
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 Okay.
No, because it was Washington.
All right. That makes sense. Speaking of Washington, by the way.
So
Washington winning means we have a chance at history. For a first-timer thing ever in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
It would automatically be a first-time Stanley Cup winner.
Not that. Because now we move to the West. And this is where history can be made. If Nashville wins tonight, it's the first time four division winners are in the conference finals.
Ah.
Because Washington typically drops the ball.
That's true.
And this is even back when there were three division winners.
Yeah. Okay.
Because again, usually Washington drops the ball.
Or a team who wins the division drops the ball. Absolutely. Yeah, but that's all hinging on Nashville beating Winnipeg in Game 7.
Exactly.
But if Washington does beat Tampa, however, that guarantees that a team is going to win their very first Stanley Cup.
Yes, because you have Nashville, Winnipeg, still having a Game 7 yet to play. You have Vegas. You have the Caps, and you have the Lightning. And the Lightning are the only one that has won a cup.
And they have done it once. Just once. We have one Stanley Cup between these last five teams. That's pretty cool.
All right.
It's cool. It's nice to see, not a typical winner this year.
Yes, but at the same time, you want to see a hockey-rich market also trying to help out here. But at the same time, you want to see some.
But you've got hockey-rich markets.
You got hockey-rich markets
that are in the conference finals.
Yeah. And I mean, hey. Say what you want about Tampa, Florida. Those people know how to show up to games.
Tampa loves.
You want to know why?
The Tampa fans love it.
They've got a team.
Yeah.
They've got a damn good one.
And they got great players. They have star players.
And a general manager who seems to really know what he's doing in Steve Yzerman.
Yeah.
That helps.
That's true. Okay. Tampa, Washington. Who are we taking? Like I said, if it's truly Washington's year, they will win.
I want to pick with my heart here, but at the same time,
I'm going to go Tampa. I'm going to go Tampa, 6 games.
You know what? I'm going to do it. It's their year. Washington.
Go. I love it.
Washington in 6.
Okay.
Flair for the dramatic.
Do it at home. Okay. I'm with you on that. I'm going to pick Tampa. I think this was just Washington's year to finally get over the hump.
They finally
make it to the conference finals. Now they're able to at least keep the window open for themselves in the Ovechkin era to where at least in the next 3 years – they can get back.
I think there's some things that just can't be explained sometimes.
That's true.
This may be one of those things.
There's a lot of luck in hockey.
I mean, everyone was making a big deal about Tom Wilson being suspended. They did just fine.
Backstrom didn't even play game 6.
Exactly.
They won. Yeah, they won.
Maybe I should ease up on my pick then.
But you know what?
Because Nick Backstrom is injured.
Yeah, but he might be back for game 1.
He was a game time decision for game six.
Exactly.
This is the NHL playoffs. People don't tend to miss unless there's really something wrong.
You saw what Evander Kane.
Sean Couturier blew his knee out.
Yeah.
And scored a hat trick.
And a 5-point night.
And a 5-point night.
On a game that got eliminated.
And he played on a torn knee.
Yeah.
Joe Thornton played with tears in his ACL and MCL.
This year. He tried to come back.
And, well.
Yeah.
Vegas happened.
Yeah. Well, the doctors happened, you know.
Well, I mean, I'm talking about the Sharks.
Well, yeah.
I'm saying they probably didn't rush him back.
No, he tried to come back. He tried to come back at the start of the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, that was. It's a game where hockey players, man. Do things.
Hockey players, man. Okay.
Game seven. Nashville, Winnipeg. Winnipeg had looked so strong that they made me change my pick.
I'm gonna say Nashville wins game 7.
I have to stay here. Because I did it. I called that Winnipeg was gonna win the series and that they were gonna end up being the cup winner.
Yeah.
If Nashville tries to get in a track meet tomorrow night, there's a problem. They need to do what they did on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
They need to lock it down,
mm-hmm.
play some boring hockey, because you have the defensive core and the goaltender to do it.
You got the firepower
but
Winnipeg's firepower is just playing out of its mind right now that they got to shut.
You got to stick to structure. You can't get in track meet with these guys.
Yeah.
And I think that because Nashville's at home,
Pecorine will be the difference.
I think because Nashville's at home, the emotions are going to be running high.
Yeah.
They're going to get in a track meet.
Yeah.
And Winnipeg is going to take it.
Okay.
That's I think it's going to happen, because when you've got fans behind you and you've got an environment that you want to encourage, not shut down like they had to in Game 6, you had to shut that crowd up.
Right.
And you got an early goal off a weird deflection.
Yeah.
Where Arvidsson looked like he got blasted and hurt behind the net, and then comes back, tries to avoid a puck, and tips it in.
Yeah.
That's so awesome, by the way. He's just like, oh, crap, there's a puck coming at my face. I got to get out of the way. And as he's dodging, the puck hits off the shaft of his stick, which at the point of deflection, knowing his intention was not to try to actually try to tip this dang thing, they counted the goal, which was the right thing.
Yeah.
But it's hilarious how it happens. It's like, oh, crap, I need to make sure this puck doesn't hit me in the face.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, it ends up in the back of the net. So
okay.
No, they did a great job.
You're taking
that.
Winnipeg tonight?
I'm taking Winnipeg because
okay.
When your crowd is behind you, emotions run high. And when you think and when you try to play emotionally, bad things can happen.
See, I don't
look at Winnipeg in this series, by the way. They've taken two of the games in Nashville.
They have. But
because they keep getting into track meets at home.
That's true.
They've played well against Winnipeg on the road.
Yep.
But they haven't done as well at home.
Okay.
And I think it has something to do with the environment. And that's why I think that they're going to goof it up. They're going to try to play in a track meet because they're going to be emotional. And they're going to make some mistakes. And then you're going to have to play a track meet. And that's where Winnipeg thrives.
Fair.
So I'm taking Winnipeg.
I like that point. Okay.
Yeah, I'm taking Winnipeg there.
Okay. I'm gonna take Nashville. I think I took Winnipeg in the when we did the semifinal preview. I think I said Winnipeg would win this series. I'm gonna say Nashville wins. But let's now preview the West Final with both teams.
Let's preview it with both of our scenarios, because we both picked one of these teams.
Yes. So,
all right,
Winnipeg. Let's say it's Winnipeg versus Vegas.
Then let me start with it there. Jets, Golden Knights. This has the makings of... Actually, either of these matchups.
Both matchups. It's going to be fun.
Has the makings of a fun Western Conference
final. It's going to be a fun series.
There's one person, and one person alone, who can make this turn boring. Marc-Andre Fleury.
Yes, I agree with you.
Because both Nashville and Winnipeg have the firepower to do whatever they want offensively.
Yeah.
Nashville's got a stronger defensive core. But, again, everything in these matchups with Winnipeg or with Nashville point to they should be the favorite against Vegas. However, the Golden Knights keep continuing to make people eat flip-flops and shut their mouths.
I think whoever wins the Nashville-Winnipeg series is going to come out as the favorite in the series against Vegas.
But now the question becomes this.
But...
can Vegas beat these teams?
Yeah. They have the speed. They can match firepower. They don't... It doesn't seem that way with the players that are on Vegas, but they can do it.
I mean,
yeah. We've seen...
You have a 40-goal scorer.
You got William Carlson.
You got a 40.
You got Marchessault. You got Riley Smith. James
Neal's back.
Yeah,
he's come
he's
back.
Playing really
he
well.
He tapered off. After
Alex Tuck is looking really good.
Yeah, Tuck has kind of grown into his own as
Eric Howla. Yeah, it has been very nice.
But James
David
Neal,
Perron's been great.
James Neal, like he was all like on fire at the start of the season.
Yep,
tapered off. But now he's back
too.
On that. Yeah, but now he's back on that first line.
But.
With Carlson and with Marchessault, and there's playoff James Neal showing up again.
Yeah. But I will agree with you, though. Fleury's the difference. He has been amazing in these playoffs. He, right now, he's the favorite to win the Conn Smythe. He's the favorite right now to win it. If whoever plays Vegas, whether it's Nashville or Winnipeg, can just get more shots on Fleury and just get to the net better, which both teams can do, they're going to be able to sneak a couple goals in. And if they do that can be the difference.
Fleury has been consistent through these playoffs. And like there was only one game where he broke a valve and became a little leaky.
He's got four shutouts.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Three or four shutouts.
The guy's been unreal.
Yeah.
And consistently unreal in these playoffs. This is where the danger of Vegas is. They have the hot goalie.
But that's what I mean. Like, if they can get to the net more, more than what the Sharks were doing, more than obviously what the Kings were not doing because they can't score.
Yeah, the Sharks
were able to give Fleury just a little bit of fits. But if Nashville's got a better offense, Winnipeg's got a better offense than the Sharks, all they have to do, get to the net. Get to the net, get in Fleury's grill. Obviously, don't do anything stupid, but you get the just get your stick on the puck, generate some rebounds. Eventually, you're going to be able to sneak a couple by Fleury. You're going to be able to. And that could be the difference right there.
Yeah. All right.
Those are things that the Sharks were not doing. Those are things that LA can't do. And that's why Fleury is able to have all this success right now. He's going to make a lot of big saves. I'm not going to doubt that. But you got to be able to get in his grill. You got to be able to get in front of the net. Two guys in front, you know, just jam away at the puck, try to generate as many rebounds as you can, and just keep giving Fleury fits. Eventually, it will get into his head, and you'll be able to sneak a couple.
Well, we'll see what happens there. And now let's move on. If it's Winnipeg versus Vegas, what do you got? I'm taking the peg.
I'm taking Winnipeg.
And if it's Nashville versus Vegas?
I'm going to take Nashville. Whoever wins Game 7, Winnipeg-Nashville, is going to the final.
I feel like Shades of Penguins becomes a problem for Nashville.
Well, and except the difference.
Except
they didn't
face... There's no shade of Penguin than Marc-Andre Fleury. Oh, and your former player, James Neal. I just feel like if Vegas takes Nashville, Nashville has shown to have some problems in this postseason.
Yeah.
They've had a long go of it. First round, Winnipeg crushed Minnesota. Nashville needed some extra time to take care of Colorado. The Avs showed that the Predators have some issues with consistency.
Speed.
And the speed. So
if a team can match Nashville's speed, they got a chance.
Yeah.
So Vegas has that.
That's why Winnipeg has got them to 7.
I'd see that.
So there's my thing is that I think if Nashville beats Winnipeg, Vegas is going to make the cup. If Winnipeg wins Game 7 against Nashville, they're going to roll.
Okay.
I think Winnipeg is my favorite at this point, but Vegas has a chance, has more than a legitimate chance of showing up to the freaking Stanley Cup in their first year.
Yeah.
All right, so now we have three different scenarios we got to plan out here.
I've got Nashville, Vegas.
I've got Washington.
And Nashville versus Tampa.
Yeah, I've got Washington.
And you've got
Washington, Winnipeg, or Washington, Vegas.
Yeah. And I'm going to say Nashville, Tampa. Like, that's it. I think they're going to beat Winnipeg, and then I think they're going to beat Vegas.
I think I'm picking Washington, and I'm picking Winnipeg here. And if that happens, well, when I changed my Stanley Cup pick in the semifinal round, I'm sticking with that pick.
Okay.
I'm picking the Winnipeg Jets. And it's going to crush every Washington Capitals fan in the world because they'll actually think that it's their year. And then the next thing you know, Alex Ovechkin is going to meet the new version of him that's Finnish.
Yeah.
In Patrick Laine.
Yeah.
And for a 6-game series.
I think if it's Nashville-Tampa, if it does become Nashville-Tampa, I'm taking the Lightning.
If it's Nashville-Tampa... That's interesting.
That's a very interesting series.
All these matchups are interesting.
All these matchups are great.
That's the great thing about this postseason is that the best teams have been in this group of 8. I mean, granted, San Jose got a little outmatched by Vegas, but...
They were still a good team
that showed that they could at least be there. Not in the first game. They forgot how to play hockey in game 1 when they lost by a touchdown. But, again, you're seeing, though, that... You know, Pittsburgh, Washington was a great series. Boston, Tampa was a good series. It was just short.
Mm-hmm.
Nashville, Winnipeg. We're getting a game 7.
Yeah.
You always get a game 7.
And the interesting part about it's been so hard to predict because it's not been a one-sided series.
Yeah.
The shot attempts are the same. The goals are pretty even. The shots on goal are even. Yeah. Are pretty even. Even like penalties really have been pretty even as well.
Honestly, for me, it's looking at the style of gameplay.
Yeah.
And that has also, for the most part, been even. But Nashville's got to tread carefully tomorrow night. Because I think if you get emotional, that's where you make mistakes.
Right.
And in front of your home crowd, that's how these things happen. I mean, hell, look at what the Sabres were at home. Granted, there wasn't a raucous crowd behind them, but at the same time, they just managed to not play any kind of quality hockey at home. So it happens. When you're on the road, there's less pressure.
Yeah, it's true. It's very true. You know, that's why they say when you go on the road in these huge games, you can survive the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And best case scenario is you have a lead after the first period.
Get a quick goal. That shuts everything up.
Yeah.
Shuts it down.
I mean, really, yeah, that's why I say, like, survive the first 10 minutes, and if you can get a goal and have the lead, you're in real good shape.
So we'll see what happens there. This postseason's been fun.
Yeah.
It's been very fun.
Yeah.
And we're going to die when the Sabres make it back.
Literally.
Because people are going to have heart attacks. Because we're not conditioned for this. We're just sitting back and enjoying it going, yo, this is cool.
Yeah.
And when the Sabres are going to make it, we're going to be like, yo, do something! It's going to be terrifying.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be terrifying.
I'm going to love it.
It's going to be awesome. This has been one of the most consistently solid postseasons that you're going to see. And the worst part about all of that great hockey is, Frank, the NHL can go ahead and smile and say, oh, status quo.
Yep.
So that's where I go, damn it. That's right there. Because now the NHL can be like, oh, everything's fine. No. Gary.
Ooh.
Gary, you're still messing some things up. Fix it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fix whatever's wrong with the dancing man in your brain. There's things that you still need to pay attention to. But at least, like I said, they got bailed out with the playoff format. Because you had quality matchups all around the board.
You did. You did.
But then again, if you're Nashville, for example, wouldn't you have wanted to play, say, San Jose instead of Winnipeg?
Yeah.
And then Vegas.
Nashville-Winnipeg would have been a way better conference final.
Yes. And we're going to get a conference final of Tampa-Washington.
Yep.
Where you could have seen Tampa-Boston being the conference final. But then again, you could have also seen Tampa-Pittsburgh or Tampa-Washington.
Yep.
Or Boston-Pittsburgh or Boston-Washington.
Or by some chance, Washington-Pittsburgh.
Yeah, no, there was enough.
Like the last couple of years, it should have been that.
Yes, the past couple of years, it should have been that. But, you know, playoff format. This year, you got lucky. And that's why I'm worried that they're just going to be like, oh, we're fine. Everything's great.
No matter what happens, they always say that everything's great.
Yeah, because the problem is that hockey is great. That's what it is. Hockey's great. And every year, they make money. Why? Because hockey is great.
Yeah.
The NHL.
That's the thing. As long as they make money.
The NHL, not so much.
As long as they make money, they don't care.
All right.
That's how it works.
That's how it works.
Business.
It's unfortunate. I'm going to do something that is out of character.
What's that? You got a rant?
No. That's very character.
Okay.
That's very in character, actually. As a matter of fact, the fact that I haven't gone on a rant is a problem. I almost did with the NHL.
All right, what's your out of character?
Imagine watching basketball and hating LeBron James. Like, seriously. Yes, I'm talking about basketball. Willingly.
Okay.
His eyes. None of you got to see that just now. But his eyes are just like, who is this guy? And he's trying to shrug it off all cool, like, yeah, okay, Derek's talking about basketball, whatever. I'm going to act like nothing's wrong. Because I don't normally.
Imagine
watching basketball and hating LeBron James.
People do.
That's what I'm saying. Like, explain it to me. I don't get it. I don't understand.
It's because he's the best.
He's amazing.
It's just like Sidney Crosby.
Dude, I hated LeBron James on the Heat. Because he was acting like a little jerk. I hated Sidney Crosby at first because he was acting like a little jerk. I hate Tom Brady because he acts like a jerk. But when they play, everything else gets cast aside. I still hate Tom Brady because he's part of the Patriots. But what kind of rival is there for the Cavaliers at this point? Well, I mean, Toronto fans can really hate on him because they've lost 8 straight games to him in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So Toronto's forgiven. But imagine watching basketball and just being like, yo, he's not one of the best 5 players in all of all time in the NBA. And I will say, Bubkis, what are you having? Can you give it to me? And can we run tests on your silly little brain?
So wait, so do you hate LeBron?
No.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Like, imagine watching the NBA playoffs and going, I hate LeBron James. This guy's not worth watching.
It's not about him not being worth watching. It's about when people hate a player, it's because of something that they've done. Like, people hate LeBron James because of when he left Cleveland and went to Miami. People still hate him for that.
I mean, I respect him for going back.
I think it was more of the way he did it.
Oh yeah.
Having a half hour program on ESPN to announce that he's signing with the Heat.
But whose fault is that? Is it his fault or is that also ESPN's fault?
And it's a little bit of both.
Yeah. So there's blame
to
go around.
LeBron did it though. That's the thing, is that LeBron did it. Mm-hmm. And people will hate him for that. Cleveland fans, I bet you there are still Cleveland fans who are still salty about that.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't.
But I think most of it's probably forgiven.
Yeah,
because they did win a championship when he came back.
Oh,
but it's probably going to be salty again.
And he's on a collision course for the next one.
He's on a collision course to leave again.
No, he's on a collision course right now to try to get him another title. I doubt it's going to happen, but he's on a collision course to get back.
No, but he's also on a collision course to leave again.
Look, man, if he delivers another title for them, I think people are going to forgive him.
Yeah, but watching
LeBron James.
He is
a top 5 player of all time.
He arguably is right next to Jordan.
And here's the problem. No, you ready? Here's the problem with Michael Jordan being part of the conversation. Michael Jordan was not a power forward.
No.
LeBron James was not a guard.
No.
So, why are we making this comparison still? Other than the fact that they both wore 23.
That's just what people do.
That's the problem. Appreciate LeBron James for LeBron James. The dude is a physical freak.
Jordan was the
I'm going to shoot it right in your face, and I don't care that you're standing there trying to stop me. It's going in. He had that killer instinct, the mentality of, I don't care what you're doing, I'm scoring.
Yeah.
LeBron James is a facilitator. He passes it along. He gets other players involved and makes them better.
While still scoring
40 points on his own. That's like I said, he's a physical specimen and a freak of nature and the best athlete probably of all time. Athlete.
Yeah, he's up there.
When Joe said that on the nightcap earlier in the week, I was like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because the guy is unreal.
Yeah.
And just imagine hating that. Imagine hating LeBron James.
It's quite easy too.
Sidney Crosby.
People will hate. If you're the best player in the league, in the world, people are going to hate you because you're the best player. Because you're not on their team.
People just need to appreciate greatness.
Most people do. But you're always going to have people who are just going to hate you just because you're you.
It's
the same thing with Sidney Crosby. Obviously Connor McDavid's a thing, but Crosby still one of the best players of the world. People still hate him because
he used to whine about penalties.
Yeah.
A lot.
People still call him Crybaby Crosby. I've talked to my family members who'd still hate his guts because of it, because he's always winning.
Now, here's my thing, though. Watching these NBA playoffs, it reminded me of something, though.
What?
It was a very harsh reminder.
What's that?
nothing matters until the conference finals.
Yeah.
Nothing matters.
Pretty much.
Because Toronto just... let me rephrase this. LeBron James just kicked the one seed to the curb.
Yeah.
The Warriors and Rockets both took their teams down, took their opponents down in five games. I think it's game six now for the Sixers and Boston. And while the Sixers show promise, I don't think it's their time yet. You know, they just made it back to the playoffs. Yeah, they made it back to the playoffs, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, they're not going to run right to the conference finals here because Boston's playing well. And now, guess what? I'm not picking against LeBron James in the final in the conference finals, right? LeBron's been there since, what, 2009?
2000, something like that.
I think it's 2009.
Something like that.
Look it up for me. Make sure I'm right.
Okay.
I'm guessing on that one, but
yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's like he's been in every NBA finals since 2009, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Let's go look it up. So, but then out west... Are you really going to bet against the Warriors? Really? The team that has been formed to dominate for several years here? I'm not doing that. That would be stupid. I'm not betting against the Warriors. I'm not betting against the LeBron James. So guess what we're going to get for the third straight year? Probably the same matchup in the NBA Finals.
Golden State Cleveland.
Exactly.
Houston's real
Houston's your only chance of messing this up.
Yeah.
Because if Boston had Kyrie Irving, it's a different story.
Yeah.
However, the sports gods decided, Boston, you've had enough good things. They have. Look what they do. They might have thrown Kyrie Irving into a volcano because of how good the Red Sox are playing right now.
That's absolutely true.
Bad timing.
2011. It's been since 2011.
Since 2011.
Yeah.
Did he also make it in 2009?
He did. 2009 was when they lost to Orlando. And then, but 2010, LeBron lost in the semis.
Oh, wow.
To Boston.
Hmm.
And then... And then 2011.
And then he's been in the NBA Finals ever since.
Yeah, pretty much.
Ever since.
Yeah. 2011 was his first year in Miami.
That was when That was when they lost to Dallas.
Yep.
And Dirk Nowitzki.
By the way, fun fact about the NBA playoffs. Well, sorry, Raptors fans. This is the first time that a one seed didn't make the conference finals since 2007.
Ouch. That's an ouch.
Yeah. That series, by the way, was that where the ones he didn't make it was when Dallas won 67 games. Ooh. And lost in the first round.
That hurts.
To Golden State.
Well.
Who won 42 games.
42?
Yeah.
They were only 42 and 40?
Yep.
Ew.
Yep.
That is terrible.
Yep.
All right. But yeah, no. That like watching basketball and not appreciating LeBron James, that's just terrible.
Yeah.
That's terrible, man. So there's that. All right, man. You got anything else for me? I think this one's going to be a quick one.
There's some football stuff coming up, too, right?
Rookie minicamp starts on Friday.
Yeah.
For the Bills. So we'll see.
See ya.
Bills media will see Josh Allen throwing to Bills players for the first time.
Yep. So, got that.
Got that. I mean,
more hockey stuff. Conference finals will just be underway next time we talk.
We'll have a game.
It'll be NBA conference finals will be underway.
There'll be a game each in the NHL conference finals.
Yep.
And as long as Boston takes care of business against Philly, well, that'll start too this weekend.
Yep. So
this weekend's shaping up to have some conference final action starting up for everything.
Yeah.
Bring it. Give me more.
Yep. I want more.
I think we're going to go quick here today, Frank.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. This has been the Leftovers Podcast on WGR550.com and on demand I'm Derek Kramer.
I'm Frank Arcuri.
You've been listening. Thank you, as always. We always appreciate you for listening. And, well, other than that, go start a fight in a bar hockey league. Later.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.